It's a remake of The Long Hot Summer here at the Capitol Green Scene. I'm taking on the weighty Orson Welles role, and my lean and mean blue-eyed colleague, Brian Nearing, is channeling Paul Newman. Brian, you remember that show?
I haven't seen that movie in many, many years. I have a vague recollection, but I couldn't even give you the plot outline.
It's sort of based on a Faulkner story. 1958, Paul Newman, Orson Welles, I think Joanne Woodward was in there.
Wow, sounds like a classic crew.
Oh, yeah, there's some good lines in there, too, like, "The world belongs to the meat eaters, Miss Clara, and if you got to take it raw, take it raw."
Well, that sounds like good advice in most situations.
Anyway, before we introduce our guest, I will take a minute to remind our listeners that this show is underwritten by Transmission Developers, Inc. of New York, builder of the cleaner, greener energy highway of tomorrow. The TDI websites may be found at www.chpexpress.com and www.transmissiondevelopers.com. We also get help from the Capital District Transportation Authority and the law firm of Hiscock & Barkley. And, Brian, now to our guest.
Yes, we want to welcome back to the show a guest who's been with us a couple times before, and that is Ross Gould. He works for Environmental Advocates of New York. And I believe, Ross, you're kind of like the air guy, right? Earth, wind, and fire, and air.
So, that's right, air and energy. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, well, welcome.
It's good to talk to you again.
Well, great. We're glad to have you back on. Now, your group, Ross, as I had said before, it looks at a lot of different issues regarding the environment, New York State. You know, they lobby, Bill. They keep track of all the things going on.
Yes, they're quite a nuisance, Brian.
They, you know, they have to, the eyes and ears of the environmental movement, one of them, at least.
If you don't like it, go to Russia.
we keep kind of busy, you know, looking at our air, anything that impacts our air, water, land, the people and communities of New York and wildlife.
Well, yeah, I guess the air is rather important. You know, I don't know if we can simulate that just yet. We're going to need it for a while, I believe. So,
yeah,
can you do anything about the humidity?
I'm trying.
Add that to the portfolio. So Ross, this week, your group, amongst others, had sent a letter to the governor on a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, Bill, here on the on the show.
Our very first show was about this.
I believe it was. This is something called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGI for short. That doesn't stand for Reginald Van Gleason, does it? Does it go back that far?
It does not. I don't
okay,
so.
It's relatively recent. But anyway, REGI, the Greenhouse Gas Initiative, is a program to control pollution, greenhouse gas pollution specifically, from
things like
power plants.
Methane, carbon dioxide, that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
carbon dioxide, correct.
Right. So Ross, now, REGI is what, 3 years old? It's been in place on the power plants. They have to buy like a credit or a permit for every ton of CO2 they emit from the power plant.
That's right, they pay for their pollution.
Right, and it's auctioned off, like you go to an auction. Yeah, how much am I bid for this ton of pollution? People bid. And then the money is collected from the utilities, probably the generators, pardon me.
Yep.
The state uses it for various and sundry purposes.
For investing into energy efficiency and renewable energy, yes. Mm.
That's the idea, although 1 year it was borrowed to plug a budget gap. To the dismay of Ross's group and even the power plant
That's
owners.
A much nicer term which you use. I would say swept.
Yeah. I know the word raid gets used.
Yes, that's the other word, yes.
Yeah, but this program, 3 years down the track, so to speak.
Has done nothing.
Oh, is it? Yeah, oh. Is that the problem?
No, come on. We all agree with it has done nothing. You guys want it tighter, and I understand that.
I won't say it's done nothing. It has shown that we can have a successful program to reduce climate emissions, that you can auction off permits to pollute, and that you can take the proceeds from that and invest in clean energy efficiency and renewable energy.
Okay, fair enough. It was a demonstration project, and it has had some benefits. I'll concede.
Right. Yeah, the idea of the permits now, there's a pool of these each year, and then the state eventually is going to begin to reduce that pool. You know, with fewer permits, you could emit less CO2 over time, is the theory. One of the issues of the letter, I believe, Ross, that went out to the governor was the size of this pool each year that's available to be issued.
Mm-hmm.
And there is more permits than there is pollution at this point, right?
There is. We have 57 groups, New York-based groups, have taken a look at this and seen expert reports that show that, look, we just have too big of a supply, and what we need to do is tighten up that supply, reduce the supply so that the amount of permits, you know, equals what the actual pollution is that's coming from these facilities, power plants.
Now, why would the pool be so much larger than the pollution that's on hand Have the utility generators been reducing the pollution that much? I know
a lot of plants are being mothballed, Brian.
Right.
There's a couple things going on here. One, you know, yes, you do have a lower pollution amount. And two, you know, when this program was started, there was a lot of doom and gloom from naysayers. Oh, the sky is going to fall. The sky is going to fall. So you know, they set the cap at a level that was just too high.
Yeah, there was a lot of play in that cap. I know there was a concern by the generators saying, well, if you do this too tight, it will cause rates to, wait for it, skyrocket. That word gets used all the time. I think it goes with Reggie. It's like a couplet. So
you two seem to know that one well. And, we are in 2012, and there hasn't been a skyrocket.
We're waiting for the skyrocket. It's like the 4th of July and the fuse didn't light.
The weird thing is that the price of natural gas, which sets the price of electricity, is so low.
Right.
That it's really kind of thrown the entire deregulated marketplace into a cocked hat, so to speak.
And that's because, Bill, when a plant converts to natural gas, mm-hmm. because it's cheaper, mm-hmm. natural gas emits a lot less CO2
right.
than coal and other things. So by switching, you're going to get a reduction in the amount of CO2.
Right. And you're using a fuel that was not expected to be that cheap at this time.
You know, one of the smart things that the states did in developing Reggie was that they built into it a review. And you know, they said, 3 years down the road, let's review, see what the impacts are, what's happening, what does the real world look like? And that's what we're going through right now. And this review has allowed us to say, look, you know, we're 3 years into the program. There hasn't been this skyrocketing. And in fact, you know, we're seeing substantial investments in energy efficiency and renewable energy. And let's make this better. Let's take this step, this opportunity to take in the new real world data of the low gas prices. And move forward from here now in 2012. Not stick back in our assumptions that we had made back in 2007 and 2008. Let's move into new data that we're seeing.
Go back at the time of the design. This thing called hydrofracking was just on the horizon, right? It hadn't really
began. It
was a
gleam in your eye, Brian.
Yes. Now hydrofracking, as other listeners of the show recall, is a technique that's used to harvest natural gas from rock,
right.
underground rock. A lot of that is being played in other states, not New York yet. That's still up for debate in New York. And because of those plays, the price of gas is down quite a bit.
Yep.
Quite a bit. So that's what's maybe also
impacting about
on Reggie. Yeah.
Now, how do you actually reduce the pool? I mean, do you have to get all the states and Reggie together and they do the study and then they say, by agreement, do they say we're going to shrink the pool? Or how does that happen?
Well, that's what they're looking to do, that as an agreement amongst the states. But each state can act on its own. That's the beautiful part of the program. And actually, you know, that's just the way states' rights work and federalism work with one another. The states can make those decisions on their own to reduce the amount of pollution.
So New York in and of itself could do this.
We're not asking Governor Cuomo to do it on his own. We're asking him to which he's actually shown an appetite and an interest in doing, because I think you may know that at the end of the legislative session, a bill had been proposed that would have actually directed the Department of Environmental Conservation to reduce the pollution cap. And so, you know, we're just asking him to follow through now that, you know, unfortunately the legislation didn't pass. You know, now let's move forward in this review process and do it. And New York, stand up and take the lead and have the other states come with you.
Now, when is the internal study that Reggie's doing, when is that supposed to be finished? Because they have to have whatever changes they want to make done by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, 4 months away, give or take?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
in government time,
now,
that's not too long in government time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So now who pulls the switch on this? Who actually decides whether or not? Essentially the governor and the DEC?
It's the governor.
So you could do it without legislation. So New York State could,
basically
at the executive level, mm-hmm. decide to do this. Well, that puts the spotlight right on
beloved
governor.
They have the legislative authority to do this.
Okay, that's right.
The legislative authority has been there for years, and so we're just taking what authority has been given to the executive and the Department of Environmental Conservation and to New York State Energy Research and Development Authority and, you know, take that next step.
Now, if I remember Economics 101 properly, Bill, when the supply of something goes down, the price tends to go up.
Yeah.
Is that something
that's the theory?
Is that something, Ross, that is expected to occur if the pool is shrunken?
Well, you seem to understand Economics 101, and
that's right.
That would be one of the impacts. But you know, you had asked earlier, you know, how would this work? How does this really work? You have to look at this as if, say, you're a manufacturer of a widget. Mm-hmm. You manufacture 100,000, 200,000 of them, whatever they are. You set this number that you're going to do, and then you look and see what's being sold, and then you see that, oh, wait, we're only selling 10,000 of them.
Right.
Well, what do? You stop manufacturing for a while until the the marketplace clears itself up. So.
Yeah. So, obviously, right now the price is at a floor, literally a minimum price that the program had set for these permits. It's as low as it can get. It can't go lower.
No.
Now, what do you think in terms of size of reduction of the pool? You know, half, 20%? Have you guys reached any kind of agreement on a number?
Well, what we think it should be done is it should be set down to the actual emission level that we experiencing currently.
So you would just baseline it to what happened or what is happening now, and then ramp it down from there.
Yes, and that would be calling as we called for with 56 other New York based organizations to reduce it 20% from current levels by 2020, and then get us on a path to reduce 80% of our emissions by the year 2050, which is in line with what scientists tell us we need to do to stave off the worst impacts of climate change.
Yeah, that's the whole goal here is a regional effort to do these things. This is, what, 11 states in the Northeast, right, are part of it?
I believe so. New Jersey's out, but
yeah,
Maryland's still in.
Is bolting. The governor wanted to leave. I know they're fighting about it down in Jersey, whether he has the power to do it without them voting on it. And I don't know if that fight's ever been resolved.
I've been surprised that Maryland, I think, and Delaware, too, stayed in the mix, you know.
Yeah, no.
They are in the mix as well, even though they are states that rely heavily on coal.
Right.
And even, I think, in New Hampshire, was it? There for a while, there was some agitation at the legislative level, maybe to leave the program. Other states out west also got another version of this, I believe, right? In California?
Yeah, California recently has enacted its own program, and they are working with other states as well to form a regional initiative. You know, it's everyone is seeing the results from RGGI. They're seeing that, you know, as a result of investing the proceeds from the auctions, New Yorkers are saving, you know, will save $46 million in energy bills over the next 10 years. And they're saying, well, wait, you know, Californians should be saving this kind of money. Or, you know, Oregon, we should be saving this kind of money. You know, so people can see the economic benefits and the environmental benefits and say, well, look, this is a win-win situation.
Well, at this point, I think we're going to chew on RGGI some more in the second half of the show, right, Bill?
Yes, I think so, Brian. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the Capital Green Scene.